Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to The Chat Returns, a mini-series of conversations about our relationships with the world's greatest animation studio, Studio Ghibli. I'm Michael Leader, and I've seen the lot of them.
And I'm Jake Cunningham, and Michael's promised to teach me his magic.
So join us on our quest into the glorious world of Ghibli. Hello, Jake. We're back. And the chat has returned too.
Oh, it's lovely to be back. The Baron guiding us to another mini-series. Although perhaps with a title that stems from a film that is slightly less beloved between you and I. But we can't resist a good pun in the title of our mini-series, can we?
So this is a follow-up to our Whispers from the Heart mini-series from the back end of 2020. Where we just love talking with people who either work for or love Ghibli, right?
Yeah, and it turns out there are a lot more people out there that want to talk about Studio Ghibli. And in this episode, I suppose it's someone who has a very unique relationship to Studio Ghibli. A lot of the time in this series, we've been talking to maybe outsiders about what they love about the studio, but now we're going straight to the source.
Well, someone who has sprung from the source as well. Today, we're going to be talking with Gorō Miyazaki. And this was such a treat. Of course, Earwig and the Witch, his new film for Studio Ghibli, is out in UK cinemas this week. But we talk about more than just that. He, of course, founded the Ghibli Museum way back when. He's also involved in the Ghibli Park, which is still being built for a future opening. And of course, he has a relationship with his dad, Hayao Miyazaki. So it was great to talk to him about not only his relationship with his dad, but also his working relationship with his own son, working in the world of animation during the pandemic.
Well, and his relationship with maybe the hero of the podcast, Toshio Suzuki, too.
Exactly. Yes. And that's a sneak peek of who we have coming up in the next episode. But Jake, The Cat Returns was a film project that started as a tie-in for a theme park about cats, and it became a film. The Chat Returns, this mini-series, is a bit of a tie-in as well, right?
Yeah. Some exciting news from Michael and I is that when we started this podcast, and through many of our intros, we've said that we've leafed through the library of films from the world's greatest animation studio. And now we've actually written the book about them. And we can maybe get a little shelf on that library of our own.
Well, maybe not a whole shelf. Maybe space on that shelf. Yeah, the Ghibliotech book, it's coming out. It's coming out the first week of September in the UK, following in the States in October. It's been our little lockdown project, I suppose.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's little. It takes a lot of time to write a book, Mike, or unless you had a much easier time with it than I did. But this is, I suppose, the book of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so readers who pick this up will journey through the films of Studio Ghibli, one film at a time, and you'll be getting what you get out of this show. You're getting Michael's amazing research about the history and context of all of these films, taking you on a journey through how they got made and the life of the studio. And then you've got my thoughts on them, reviewing them critically as films, my first take reaction from them, and no longer a first take reaction, how I have come to enjoy these films on multiple rewatches. And it's just been such a pleasure to spend a year going further down the rabbit hole of Ghibli than we thought we ever would.
Absolutely. And for my part, it's been really fun returning to some of those films where we did the context on the podcast maybe 2 years ago at this stage, and really going back to the books, going back to the sources, interviews, finding all sorts of little tidbits and bits of information and insights that we didn't talk about on the podcast. So it's a really fun journey. We go from Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind all the way up to Earwig, so it's up to date. It covers the whole span. You know, Jake, you and I have now read quite a few books about Ghibli. We've talked about a few of them on the podcast. We've had some of the authors on the podcast. You know, Helen McCarthy's book on Hayao Miyazaki, absolute classic. Susan Napier's Miyazaki World, brilliant. It's such an honor to be on the shelf next to them. And the difference is that, you know, as with the podcast, it's all the films. So we have just as much space for Isao Takahata. We dedicate a good chunky chapter to Whisper of the Heart. And then fittingly for today's episode, we have lots of time for Goro Miyazaki.
We certainly do. And I should just say that that is not Goro's voice that you're going to be hearing for the most part of this interview. So Goro had a translator with him. And so, Michael, you were having your questions relayed, and we get a little snippet of Goro before our translator takes over.
So we're doing it sort of in a BBC News style, where we'll have a little snippet of Goro, which will fade out and his interpreter fades in. If listeners, you find that a bit distracting, maybe you're a bit more familiar with the Japanese language than Jake and me, you can go skip forward 15, 20 minutes towards the end of the podcast, where we'll have the full interview to hear Goro in his own words.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Goro Miyazaki, thank you so much for talking with me today. I suppose first question, it's been 20 years this year since the opening of the Ghibli Museum. And this week that we're talking is when the museum is reopening after being closed for the pandemic, with a special attraction puppet show adapted from Earwig. And since you've been so involved in the whole history of the museum, I'd like to know, what's your proudest moment of the last 20 years of the Ghibli Museum?
I think it's just the fact that we were able to have it open for 20 years. While we were making the museum, I was still young, and it was hard for me to imagine what it would look like 20 years time. But now, looking back, you know, we were able to have many, many people visit our museum, and it's still continuing. And that's the biggest surprise for me.
It was such a treat for us to visit there back in November 2019. It feels like so long ago now. I'm led to believe that you're involved in the Ghibli Park planning, and I wondered whether there's anything you can tell us about how that is going. And when the Ghibli Museum opened, there were certain principles and a vision behind it. Is there a similar vision behind the Ghibli Park?
So with the Ghibli Museum, what I can say about it is that it all started from Hayao Miyazaki's design of the architecture. And so we built that museum based on his design. And it was more about the building itself rather than the exhibits inside. So the biggest attraction or the most significant exhibit in that museum is the building itself, the form of it, and the fact that it was very authentic. We made sure that the materials that we used for the walls and all the metal parts were crafted with real life craftsmen rather than have a very sort of convenient way of just putting up something artificial. So that was the whole point of the Ghibli Museum. After the Ghibli Museum opened, there was an expo at the Aichi Prefecture here in Japan. And in that expo, we actually build the house that appears in my neighbor Totoro, the house where Mei and Satsuki visits. And what we did was that we created this old house in a way that people used to build houses in the old days in Japan. How we built it and the materials, everything was recreated like as they would do it in the old days with this old Japanese house. So that when people visit, they would be able to experience, they would think that they'll stepped into the world of that Totoro film. So that was the Ghibli Park that we're building now is the extension of that. In the park, you'll be able to see things and architecture that appear in Ghibli films built in a very authentic style, not fake.
Well, as if we need another excuse to go to Japan again to visit the Ghibli Museum, going to the Ghibli Park will give us that.
Yes, please.
So across the course of our podcast, where we are really diving deep into all these the films individually, but also we talk about the history and the people behind them, we're always really fascinated to hear more about the people who make these films. And maybe because of the way that certain books are translated, there's certain focus on certain filmmakers over others, I still don't feel we know you very well, even though we may have enjoyed Tales from Earthsea, from Up on Poppy Hill, and now Earwig and the Witch, whereas for some of the other filmmakers at Ghibli, we know what film inspired them to become animators, what books they read. And I wondered, it's sometimes hard to do on the spot, but could you tell us a little bit of the books or the films, the manga, the anime that inspired you as a child that you still are inspired by today?
When I was growing up, it was Hayao Miyazaki, and the works of Hayao Miyazaki and Isao Takahata's animation work that we watched a lot. TV series like Heidi, the girl, and also Future Boy Conan, the animation series. And also my generation, we saw the whole sort of Japanese animation movement happening, and animation TV series like the space battleship Yamato and also Gundam were hugely popular among the kids in my generation. So I used to watch those two on TV. Actually back then, Heidi and Space Battleship Yamato was on at the same time on different channels. And I myself personally wanted to see Yamato more than Heidi, but then of course we had to watch Heidi in our families.
That's terrific. I suppose it's part of the goal of our podcast, because some of those series, such as Future Boy Conan, I don't think has ever been shown in the UK or the US properly, but it's so important to a whole generation of Japanese animation. Hopefully one day we'll get the chance to see it properly.
So yes, I hope you get to see the series, because it was the first TV series that Hayao Miyazaki directed, and I feel that the series have those elements that's very unique about his works already in the series. So I hope you do get to see the Future Boy Conan.
Yeah. And are you inspired by contemporary films as well? I read somewhere that the look of Earwig, even though it's in 3D CGI, was inspired by stop motion films like by Leica or Aardman.
この年になると映画を見て若い頃のようにガーンってならないんですよ。
Not sure if this is going to answer your question, but when you are at my, when you're at a point in my, in your life like myself, you don't, like whatever you watch doesn't have that same impact as it used to when you were younger. So you don't sort of obsess over certain things like you used to. However, I do love the works of studios like Aardman and Leica, especially Aardman. I love how they have a lot of dry humor in them.
And as I said, we're so fascinated by these names and personalities behind the films, and I wondered if I could ask you about a couple of people involved in all your films, but also Earwig, if you could give us an impression of who they are, what they do, and how they impact your career. One is not a small name by any means. It's Toshio Suzuki, who may not be the director of these films, but once you read into the history, has had a huge impact in what we see as Studio Ghibli, particularly on your career. Could you give us a bit of a sense of what he gave you early in your career and what he still does now?
So he's the evil witch, no, the wizard, who drags me into doing things that are evil or bad. Because he's the one who actually... asked me to be involved in the, who invited me be involved in building the Ghibli Museum. And also he's the one who tempted me into directing my first animation film, although I had no experience directing an animation film. And also he was the one who suggested that I do Earwig and the Witch in 3D CG.
Interesting. I also read in one of the press conferences he gave around Earwig and the Witch that he said that the person that Earwig most reminded of him of was you. And why do you think that is?
Probably I have a twisted personality. Which I don't think that I have myself. And I think that Toshio Suzuki is more Earwig than myself. Because Toshio Suzuki, he kind of, he's good at manipulating or making Hayao Miyazaki, you know, to create all these great animation work. And also he goes out and sort of maneuvers these people with money to fund films. So he's very good at making people do what he wants them to do. So in that sense, I think he's very similar to Earwig than me.
He's a fascinating character. We would love to speak to him someday. Everyone says we should.
Don't be deceived by him.
Someone else who has been involved in all your films and many of the films of the new Ghibli generation is Keiko Niwa, co-screenwriter. And her name always pops out because it's a female name involved in the scripts for these films that often have female protagonists. And I wonder, what impact does she have? And who is she? Because we know very little about her in the UK.
まあ、普段はあの本の編集の仕事をしている人なんですけど、
So she's actually an editor. She works as an editor for books, but she's also a tremendously talented scriptwriter. What's great about her is she's very good at organizing things. So rather than focus on detail, she's really good at building up the framework for the plot. So it's very, I really appreciate her working with her, especially at the early stages, so that I could get like the overall vision of the film in order to grasp that big arc, the story arc at the early stage.
That's a very important role in a production. My final question, watching Earwig, I was very struck by the image of Mandrake writing a book, shutting himself away in his study, closing the door on his foster child. And I thought about myself and many people like me in the last year, forced to work from home because of circumstances. You can see behind me this door, my two-year-old child would often be right behind that door all day long saying, "Will Daddy come out soon?" And I wondered yourself, as a person who works in animation, which is a very labor-intensive, time-consuming job, but also a family man, how do you balance those two things?
そうですね。なんとか普通の人の生活ができるように努力するっていうことですかね。
All you can do is do your best or try your best to maintain that normality in life.
例えばですけど、その僕はこの頃、宮崎駿。
So when I was a child growing up, Hayao Miyazaki, because he was doing a TV series, so he was very, very busy. So he would go to work from morning to late at night. So he would usually get up after I'd leave, after I go to school. And he would usually come back after I go to bed. And back in the days, a lot of Japanese companies, you know, people went to work even on Saturdays. And when it's very busy, he goes to work on Sundays too. So basically he was a father who was absent from home. So as a father myself, I didn't want to be like that. So I make sure that I get up early in the morning so that we can have breakfast as family. And I try to go home early as possible so that we could have dinner together. Just those small things that I try to make sure that I do so that we at least have a normal life at home as a family.
I think that's the best advice that you can give is just try your best and be there when you can. I think that's very wise. Thank you.
Yes.
So that's all the time we have. I'd love to talk further with you, but Gorō Miyazaki, thank you so much for spending time speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Gorō Miyazaki for speaking with me for the podcast this week. And thank you too to Zoe Flower at Elysian Films, who are releasing Earwig and the Witch in UK cinemas, which is in cinemas now.
Michael, I think we should just take a moment to say congratulations. We got Miyazaki on the podcast.
in that classic way that Tales from Earthsea was a Miyazaki movie, we got a Miyazaki on the podcast. Yes, exactly.
We certainly did. And he was absolutely lovely.
And he's also given us a little bit of a morsel for next week's episode when he talks about the dark wizard behind Studio Ghibli who makes him do things he doesn't want to do, the producer, Toshio Suzuki. So we should tee this up. What was amazing was halfway through that interview when I said, "We'd love to talk with Toshio Suzuki. You know, thank you for dropping a reference to him and talking about your relationship with him." Then an email appeared in my inbox almost as the interview was wrapping up saying, "Do you want to talk to Suzuki?" And that's like one of the great emails I've ever received.
Oh, well, he'll be here next week. Toshio Suzuki, the hero of the podcast and the hero of the Ghibliotech book for sure. And so do keep your eyes peeled on any virtual shopping baskets you have, any wish lists, and maybe even some bookshelves and some shops, depending on when you're listening to this, for the Ghibliotech book. if you want to keep up with us for any news about future episodes of The Chat Returns and information about the book, you can follow us on Twitter, where we are at Ghibliotech. And Michael, you're over there at Michael J. Leader.
And you can follow Jake as well at Jake H. Cunningham.
Ghibliotech is a Little Dot Studios production. Our music is made by Anthony Ng, our artwork is by Sophie Moe, and the show is produced by Michael Leader, Jake Cunningham, Harold McShill, and Steph Watts. That's me. I'm the editor as well.
Goro Miyazaki, thank you so much for talking with me today. I suppose first question, it's been 20 years this year since the opening of the Ghibli Museum. And this week that we're talking is when the museum is reopening after being closed for the pandemic with a special attraction puppet show adapted from Earwig. And since you've been so involved in the whole history of the museum, I'd like to know, what's your proudest moment of the last 20 years of the Ghibli Museum?
ありがとうございます。ミュージアムが、開設されてから20年、はい、経ちました。で、今月、また、再開されるんですよね。はい、閉めた後で、人形劇、アーヤの人形劇が行われるということで、まあ、ずっとジブリミュージアムに携わってきて、うん、一番やっぱり誇りに思えた瞬間とか、一番思い入れのある瞬間っていうのが、うん、
20年続いたことですかね。
I think it's just the fact that itWe were able to have it open for 20 years.
そのジブリ美術館を作ってる頃はもう僕も若かったので、その20年後の美術館なんては想像できなかったんですけど、それがね、今となってはもう20年続いてて、大勢のお客さんに来てもらっていて、でそのことそのものが一番驚きですよね。
うん、So while we were making the museum, I was still young, and it was hard for me to imagine what it would look like 20 years' time. But now, looking back, you know, we were able to have many, many people visit our museum, and it's still continuing, and that's the biggest surprise for me.
It's such a treat for us to visit there back in November 2019. It feels like so long ago now. I'm...led to believe that you're involved in the Ghibli Park planning, and I wondered whether there's anything you can tell us about how that is going. And when the Ghibli Museum opened, there were certain principles and a vision behind it. Is there a similar vision behind the Ghibli Park?
で今はジブリパークを手掛けているということで、いわゆるミュージアムを立ち上げたときっていうのは、いくつかこういった、いわゆる何て言うかな、原則というか、そういったこう哲学的なものがあると思うんですけども、ジブリパークの方はどうなのか、そして何か教えてもらえないか。
うん、なんだろうな。ジブリ美術館を、ジブリ美術館っていうのは、その、まあ、建物のデザインを、その宮崎駿がして、まあ、基本のデザインを作って、で、それをもとに僕らがこう一緒に作ってきたわけなんですけど、その最初に考えたときは、その中身が一番大事なんで、で、建物そのものが一番の展示物。その宮崎駿がその構想した建物を本物の建物として建てるってことそのものが一番大きな展示だろうっていうふうに考えてました。なので、その、なんだろうな、うん、その建物って言ったときに、まあ、形の面白さももちろんありますけど、なるべくその本物として作る、まあ、フェイクで作るって簡単なんですけど、例えばその土の壁であったら本物の土を使う。で、鉄、ね、金属の材料があるんだったら、それはそのいわゆる鍛冶屋さんが作ったようなものだとか、その鋳物だったり、その今のようなそのインスタントに作れる建物じゃないものを作ろうっていう。考えてやってたんですよね。うん、っていうのがまあ一個ですね。はい。
Well, this, the answer is going to continue, but let me just translate that bit. So with the Ghibli Museum, what I can say about it is that it all started from Hayao Miyazaki's design of the architecture, and so we built that museum based on his design. And it was more, it wasn't it was more about the building itself rather than the exhibits inside. So the biggest attraction or the most significant exhibit in that museum is the building itself, the form of it, and the fact that it was very authentic. We made sure that the materials that we used for the walls and all the metal parts were crafted with real life craftsmen rather than have a very sort of convenient way of just putting up something artificial. So that was the whole point of the Ghibli Museum.
で、その、まあ、そのジブリ美術館がオープンした後、あの、日本の愛知県というところで、国際博覧会がありました、エキスポが。で、その時に、あの、その会場の中に、隣のトトロに出てくるサツキとメイの家っていうものを、あの、作りました。で、それが今回のジブリパークの一つのきっかけになっているんですね。で、その時にサツキとメイの家をどうやって作ったかっていうと、まあ、昔の、日本の伝統的な建物の、作り方、それから材料、そういったものを正確に再現して、まるでその家の中に入るとトトロの世界に入ったような建物を作ろうというふうに考えました。なのでその延長にあるジブリパークなので、ジブリ作品、いろんなジブリ作品に出てくる建物を本物として作る、フェイクじゃなくてっていうのを今回もやっています。
So after the Ghibli Museum opened, there was an expo at the Aichi Prefecture here in Japan. And in that expo, we actually built the house that appears in my neighbor Totoro, the house where Mei and Satsuki visits. And what we did was that we created this old house in the way that people used to build houses in the old days in Japan. How we built it and the materials, everything was recreated like as they would do it in the old days with this old Japanese house. So that was, and so that when people visit, they would be able to experience, they would think that they'll stepped into the world of that Totoro film. So that was the Ghibli park that we're building now is the extension of that. In the park, you'll be able to see things and architecture that appear in Ghibli films built in a very authentic style, not fake.
Well, as if we need another excuse to go to Japan again to visit the Ghibli Museum, going to the Ghibli Park will give us that.
Yes, please.
So across the course of our podcast, where we are really diving deep into all these the films individually, but also we talk about the history and the people behind them, we're always really fascinated to hear more about the people who make these films. And maybe because of the way that certain books are translated, there's certain focus on certain filmmakers over others, I still don't feel we know you very well, even though we may have enjoyed Tales from Earthsea, from Up on Poppy Hill, and now Earwig and the Witch, whereas for some of the other filmmakers at Ghibli, we know what film inspired them to become animators, what books they read. And I wondered, it's sometimes hard to do on the spot, but could you tell us a little bit of the books or the films, the manga, the anime that inspired you as a child that you still are inspired by today?
はい、ということでこのポッドキャストでは、まあ、いわゆるジブリのいろいろな面をこう掘り下げていくんですけども、特にやはりジブリのに携わっている人たちに焦点を当てて、いろいろこう、特集をすることがあるんですけれども、はいはい、なので、五郎監督もまあ、いろいろ皆さん知りたいと思っているところがあると思うので、まず子供時代に、すごく思い入れがあった、すごく影響を受けている本であるとか、映画であるとか、漫画であるとか、アニメがありましたら。
子供の頃。やっぱり今でも強く記憶に残っているのは宮崎駿たち、高畑勲が若い頃作った作品、テレビだとそのハイジだとか未来少年コナンとか、そういうものはすごく記憶に残っています。未来少年コナンって何て言うんだろう。
はい、
ね、あと、そうですね、と同時に僕の世代っていうのはやっぱり日本でアニメブームっていうそのブームが起きた ムーブメントが起きた時代なので、そう、それこそ宇宙戦艦ヤマトとか、あのスペースバトルシップヤマトとか、うん、ガンダムとか、でそういうものも僕は同時に見てました。
うん、
ちなみにそのアルプスの少女ハイジの裏番組は宇宙戦艦ヤマトだったんですよ。で僕はあの宇宙戦艦ヤマトが見たいなと思いながら我慢してハイジを見てました。
So, when I was growing up, so it was, it was Hayao Miyazaki, and the works of Hayao Miyazaki and Isao Takahata's animation work that we watched a lot, TV series like Heidi, the girl, and also Future Boy Conan, the animation series. And also, my generation, we saw the whole sort of Japanese animation movement happening, and there were animation TV series like the Space Battleship Yamato and also Gundam were hugely popular among the kids in my generation. So I used to watch those two on TV. Actually, back then, Heidi and Space Battleship Yamato was on at the same time on different channels. And I myself personally wanted to see Yamato more than Heidi, but then of course we had to watch Heidi in our families.
That's terrific. I suppose it's part of the goal of our podcast because some of those series, such as Future Boy Conan, I don't think has ever been shown in the UK or the US properly, but it's so important to a whole generation of Japanese animation. Hopefully one day we'll get the chance to see it properly.
Conan ってイギリスでその放送とかこうされたことが一度もなくて、でもすごくやっぱりあのアニメの歴史、まあおそらくその歴史においてはすごく重要な作品なのでいつか見れるといいな。
はい、ぜひ見てください。あの宮崎駿がテレビシリーズを監督した初めての作品なので、やっぱりその今に続く宮崎駿的なものがあのたくさん詰まってますよね。
So yes, I hope you get to see the series because it was the first TV series that Hayao Miyazaki directed, and I feel that the series have those elements that's very unique about his works already in the series. So I hope you do get to see the Future Boy Conan.
Yeah, and are you inspired by contemporary films as well? I read somewhere that the look of Earwig, even though it's in 3D CGI, was inspired by stop motion films like by Leica or Aardman.
あの最近の作品からも影響を受けてるんですか？その資料の中で今回アーヤ、あの非常にこうストップモーション人形を使ったもの、アーデンとかライカの作品に影響を受けたっていうことを言ってましたけれども。
この年になると映画を見て若い頃のようにガーンってならないんですよ。なんだろう、もう好きで好きでたまらなくなるっていうことはまああまりないので、なんかあれですね、あんまり答えになってないですね。
Not sure if this is going to answer your question, but when you are at my, when you're at a point in my, in your life like myself, you don't So, like whatever you watch doesn't have that same impact as it used to when you were younger. So you don't sort of obsess over certain things like you used to.
ただあのなんだろう。やっぱりアードマンとかライカは好きですよね。うん、特にアードマンの作品なんかはあのとっても好きです。うん、それはそのなんだろうな。ちょっとこうひねくれた笑い、ブラックの笑いが入ってるところが僕は好きですね。
However, I do love the works of studios like Aardman and Leica, especially Aardman. I love how they have a lot of dry humor in them. That's it.
And as I said, we're so fascinated by these names and personalities behind the films. And I wondered if I could ask you about a couple of people involved in all your films, but also Earwig, if you could give us an impression of who they are, what they do, and how they impact your career. One is not a small name by any means. It's Toshio Suzuki, who may not be the director of these films, but once you read into the history, has had a huge impact in what we see as Studio Ghibli, particularly on your career. Could you give us a bit of a sense of what he gave you early in your career and what he still does now?
あの作品に携わっている他の方についてもお聞きしたいんですけれども、まずあの鈴木敏夫あのプロデューサー、まあ、彼はその監督ではないにしても、スコキャスタチオジブリに欠かせない存在だと思うんですけれども、特に五郎監督の、まあ、キャリアにとって彼がどんな存在なのか、どういう意味を持つのか。
彼は僕をあの悪い道に誘う魔法使いですね。悪い魔法使いって言った方がいいですかね。
So he's the evil witch, no, the wizard who drags me into doing things that are evil or bad.
要するに僕をその、まあ、ジブリ美術館を作るってことでジブリに連れてきたのも彼、まあ、誘惑したのも彼ですし、それからその最初の、アニメーション映画を、まあ、素人にもかかわらず僕は監督をすることになったのも彼の誘惑があったからですね。だし、まあ、今回その、アーヤと魔女で 3DCG を使うってことに対して一番その僕にそれを勧めたのも鈴木敏夫ですね。
Because he's the one who actually asked me to be involved in the who invited me to be involved in building the Ghibli Museum.And also he's the one who tempted me into directing my first animation film, although I had no experience directing an animation film. And also he was the one who suggested that I do Eowyn and the Witch in 3DCG.
Interesting. I also read in one of the press conferences he gave around Eowyn and the Witch that he said that the person that Eowyn most reminded him of was you. And...Why do you think that is?
アーヤに一番近い人っていうのが五郎監督だというふうに鈴木プロデューサーが言ってたらしいんですけど、記者会見で。なぜそういうふうに言ったんだと思います?
性格が悪いからじゃないですかね。
Probably I have a twisted personality.
そ自分ではそんなに性格悪くないと思ってるんですけどね。
Which I don't think that I have myself.
よっぽど鈴木さん、鈴木敏夫の方がアーヤですよ。
And I think that Toshio Suzuki is more Eowyn than myself.
つまり宮崎駿を操って映画を作らせ、でその映画を作るためにそのいろんな、まあ、自分より年上の人たちを操ってその資金を集める、そういうことをやってきたのが彼なので、彼の方がよこだえって言ってるなっていうふうに僕は思います。
Because Toshio Suzuki, he kind ofHe's good at manipulating or making Hayao Miyazaki, you know, to create all these great animation work. And also he goes out and sort of maneuvers these people with money to fund films. So he's very good at making people do what he wants them to do. So in that sense, I think he's very similar to Iwe than me.
He's a fascinating character. We would love to speak to him someday. Everyone says we should.
いつかお話を聞きたいな、直接鈴木プロデューサーに。
ケムに騙されないようにしてください。
Don't be deceived by him.
Someone else who has been involved in all your films and many of the films of the new Ghibli generation is Keiko Niwa, co-screenwriter. And her name always pops out because it's a female name involved in the scripts for these films that often have female protagonists. And I wonder what impact does she have and who is she? Because we know very little about her in the UK.
丹羽恵子さん、まあ、脚本をすごく手掛けられていますけれども、まあ、特に今回その女性の主人公というところ で、まあ、イギリスのファンの方は彼女のことをあまり知らないので、まあ、どういう方なのかっていう、また仕事をしてどうですかと。
まあ、普段はあの本の編集の仕事をしている人なんですけど、まあ、実はシナリオライターとしてもすごく優秀な人。で、彼女の優れているところは、その、なんだろう。ものすごく一貫した整理整頓ができるっていうんですかね、うん、要するにディティールをその書くってことよりもそのお話の骨子を組み立てていくのがとても上手、
うん
うん、なので彼女が最初にいてくれるととてもこうなんていうのかな、全体のビジョンをつかみやすくなるっていうことはありますよね、
うん、So she's actually an editor. She works as an editor for books Mm-hmm. But she's also a tremendously talented scriptwriter. What's great about her is she's very good at organizing things. So rather than focus on detail, she's really good at building up the framework for the plot. So it's very, I really appreciate her working with her, especially at the early stages, so that I could get like the overall vision of the film in order to grasp that big arc, the story arc at the early stage.
That's a very important role in a production. My final question, watching Earwig, I was very struck by the image of Mandrake writing a book, shutting himself away in his study, closing the door on his foster child. And I thought about myself and many people like me in the last year, forced to work from home because of circumstances. You can see behind me this door, my two-year-old child would often be right behind that door all day long saying, will daddy come out soon? And I wondered yourself, as a person who works in animation, which is a very labor-intensive, time-consuming job, but also a family man, how do you balance those two things?
まあそのマンドレークの方がまあ引きこもる状態でいわゆる一生懸命本を書いてますけど、今特にやはりその家で仕事をする人が増えてる中で、ご自身もやはり自分の部屋にこもって子供がいて、でこう扉を閉めて、いわゆるもう子供の中にいられる仕事に集中しなきゃいけない。子供は合ってる。でも、五郎監督もまあ父親として、アニメーションってすごくやっぱり労力がかかったり、やることいっぱいあるところで、いわゆるこう家族と仕事のバランスとか、その辺はどうされてるんですか？
そうですね。なんとか普通の人の生活ができるように努力するっていうことですかね。
All you can do is do your best, or try your best to maintain that normality in life.
例えばですけど、その僕はこの頃宮崎駿はどうだったかっていうと、もうとにかくテレビシリーズをやっていたので朝から晩まで忙しいわけですよ。そうすると彼が朝起きてくるのは僕が学校に行った後、で彼が家に帰ってくるのは僕が寝た後です。で、まあ、当時はまだ土曜日は普通にそのオフィスに行くっていう、まあ日本でそうだったので。でなおかつ忙しいと彼は日曜日も仕事に行くということで、まあ、家にいないお父さんだったんですよね、だからそうならないように心がける。だから朝はちゃんと起きて家族で一緒にご飯を食べるとか、夜もなるべく家に帰ってご飯を食べるようにするとか、まあ、そういう当たり前の、ね、普通だったら当たり前っていうことを頑張ってやろうとしてるっていう、そういう感じですかね、
So when I was a child growing up, Hayao Miyazaki, because he was doing a TV series, so he was very, very busy. So he would go to work from morning to late at night. So he would usually get up after I'd leave, after I go to school. And he would usually come back after I go to bed.And back in the days, a lot of Japanese companies, you know, people went to work even on Saturdays. And when it's very busy, he goes to work on Sundays too. So basically, he was a father who was absent from home. So as a father myself, I didn't want to be like that. So I make sure that I get up early in the morning so that we can have breakfast as family. And I try to go home early as possible so that we could have dinner together. Just those small things that I try to make sure that I do so that we at least have a normal life at home as a family.
I think that's the best advice that you can give is just try your best and be there when you can. I think that's very wise. Thank you.
Yes.
So that's all the time we have. I'd love to talk further with you, but Goro Miyazaki, thank you so much for spending time speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.